It's the 4th of July, so be honest. How many hot dogs, ribs, wings, burgers did you eat? Kate Delaney on a special 4th of July, America Tonight, wishing you and your family a happy holiday. Truly, this is one of the biggest eating holidays of the year. I think we lose track when we're hanging out with our family and friends. We're at the barbecues, we're behind the house, you know, whatever. Grilled hot dogs with sauerkraut and some onions, by the way, my favorite. How about you? I mean, I know some people just hate sauerkraut and they cannot believe I put sauerkraut on the hot dog. I like it. I remember going to see Phillies games and we always had sauerkraut on the hot dog. So to me, hot dogs and hamburgers probably are 4th of July, but I know everybody now has gone to more exotic things, and sometimes you go and you can't even find the hot dogs and hamburgers because they're grilling other meat or doing something different, or, you know, who knows what, or people are vegetarians and they have like turkey burgers, which I like turkey burgers, or they have, now they even have turkey hot dogs, but, you know, just give me an old-fashioned American hot dog, how about that? Or a Texas Tommy that's just loaded down with other kinds of stuff. I don't even try to pay attention to the calories. That's probably the problem with 4th of July. So I started to think about the 4th, and it's always a good idea, I think, to go back in history and remember how we arrived, you know, to this day and how it's become such a special thing and it's a big holiday for us. So a little quick history, thumbnail history lesson here. During the American Revolution, there was the separation, as we know, of the 13 colonies from England. That happened on July 2nd, 1776, when the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a resolution of independence that had been proposed in June by Richard Henry Lee of Virginia. Of course, that would declare the United States, that was the idea, independent from Great Britain. After voting for independence, Congress turned its attention to the Declaration of Independence, a statement explaining the decision, which was put together by a committee of five. Don't you love that? Committee of five. Tom Jefferson was the principal author. I've said my love for Tom Jefferson. I've expressed that before. There's a great book. It's called Founding Brothers, and it is about those relationships. But anyway, Tom Jefferson, to me, was the linchpin in all of this. So Congress debated, revised the wording of the Declaration, finally approved it July 4th. A day earlier, John Adams had written to his wife, Abigail, and check this out. This is what he wrote. "On the second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forevermore." So Adams' prediction was pretty good. First of all, by how we celebrate now and how he thought we should celebrate. And he was off just by 2 days, because remember, the second day of July. So from the beginning, Americans have celebrated, we've celebrated independence on July 4th, and that's the date shown on the Declaration of Independence, rather than July 2nd, the date the resolution of independence was approved in a closed session of Congress. Now, this is what's interesting, because could we ever be free of controversy? Of course not. So historians have long debated this and disputed, walked away fuming. Seriously, I've seen people really get into it about this, whether Congress actually signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, even though Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and Benjamin Franklin all later wrote that they had signed it on that day. Most historians have concluded that the Declaration was signed nearly a month after its adoption on August 2nd, 1776, and not on July 4th, as is commonly thought. So that kind of blows that theory. But this is what I say. I say we're sticking with the 4th. I'm going with the 4th. This is where we feel the celebration ought to be. And I don't think that we have to worry so much about whether or not we're completely accurate on the date, because it ended up falling on the 4th, and I think that's good enough. How about for you? Or do you think we should wind back the hands of time and push back a couple of days? Well, I can tell you that's never going to happen. I mean, it's ingrained now in our culture. So 2nd, 4th, who cares? I mean, the bottom line is, I think it's very cool, the letter that John Adams wrote to Abigail and talking about how he thought this was just going to be the great anniversary. Because you have to think about Adams and Jefferson and all that they went through and all the people they had to convince and all of the hardship that they had to deal with, and General George Washington and leading the troops and fighting the British, who were so prepared but ill-prepared in another way for what they were going to run into. But the fact that they had a big army, they had an armada, a fleet of ships, and ultimately what America was able to do in breaking away and getting away from the king and getting away from tyranny and lack of religious tolerance and whatnot. It's always good in your mind. I say this, you've probably heard me if you've listened to the show. It's always good, I think, to remember when you're frustrated with what's happening in Washington, the people that you put in place, that you voted for, that it is a government of we the people. That's what's so great about the Declaration of Independence, because after going through what they went through with the British, I think the whole idea for the Founding Fathers was, we don't want future generations to have to weigh this. We don't want this to weigh down on them. So we're trying to lay it out as plain as we can in our Constitution. We're trying to put it out there. This is the founding of the country, and this is where we like to see the country go, because we've already been through the worst of the worst, and we have given lives to it, and we've given our hearts over to trying to win this independence so we could have some tolerance. And those are things that people forget. I mean, this is a different era than all those many years ago. But if we didn't have strong personalities in that committee, the committee of five that I mentioned before, if we didn't have that committee of five, and we didn't have Tom Jefferson as the principal author who could argue and they could go through the language and pull it apart and figure out what could happen down the road, we wouldn't be where we are today. And who knows? Can you imagine if we still were a piece of England? I don't think so. Look to some of our neighbors to the north, and that tells you all you need to know. It is, I think, a great blessing to live in this country. All right, coming up as we look back at the first part of the year, some interesting conversations. One, with Peggy Foley on the Chronic Disease Fund. If you're suffering, you don't want to miss this one. Plus, Derek Green unloads on an organization he says has flatlined as a black conservative from Project 21. He brings a unique perspective to the table. And Nicole Kading from Americans for Prosperity joins us, too. So grab an early morning dog and hang with us here on America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Guest in our virtual green room right now, Peggy Foley is, and she runs something called the Chronic Disease Fund. Wait till you hear about what they do, and I've had some experience with this. I've had friends that have been in these situations where they were doing well, everything's great, they're, you know, pursuing the American dream, and then suddenly something happens to them. A spouse gets cancer, and yes, they have medical coverage, but it doesn't stretch the way they need it to. And they've got all kinds of problems all of a sudden that they didn't have before, and they need help. And sometimes they're too proud to ask for help. And sometimes the medications with cancer and other diseases just aren't covered. They can't afford the medications that they need. And that's what the Chronic Disease Fund is all about. Peggy Foley, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you very much for having me.
So tell me about the development of this fund. How did it start? Was it because you saw the need, because people started to see that at a grassroots level with neighbors, with friends, with themselves, or what happened?
You know, our founder is Mike Bannigan, and Mike had Crohn's disease from the time he was in his early 20s. And for a long time, they didn't know what it was, actually, and he got very, very sick. And then he, fortunately, he was diagnosed with it, but it was before any kind of specialty medications were developed for it. So he really had to suffer with it for a very long time. It really, you know, inhibited his lifestyle tremendously. And when the first specialty therapeutic did come across in his early 30s, he was working for a very good organization, very good company, had great insurance, and this miraculous drug said, hey, there's a possibility that this will help you. And he said, terrific, and he had great insurance, and he went to go pay for it, and his copay was $1,600. And because he had such a good job, he was fortunate enough to be able to afford it. But he said to himself, does the regular person out there, the average American person, citizen, really afford something like this. He felt fortunate. And so that's when he started looking into the what he could do to make a difference, and that's how he founded Chronic Disease Fund. And that was specifically for people who were underinsured, and you don't know if you're underinsured until, unfortunately, you get diagnosed with a chronic disease like something like this. So you're found underinsured, and you go to pay for your medication that might be able to save your life, and you find out that that copay could be anywhere from $300 to $3,000 a dose.
Wow. How do you know if you qualify? Like you said, you don't know what your insurance covers, but what's the first step in knowing that you have a shot at getting some help from the fund?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't even think about it. And sadly, in this country, you know, chronic disease is not something you're really aware of until, unfortunately, it happens to you. And that's the situation here. Everybody moves along. You think you have your insurance coverage, and then you're diagnosed with something that's out of the blue. You don't expect it. And so most of the time, you don't know until you go to the pharmacy to get that prescription filled, or your doctor says, hey, this is going to be a lot of money. And, you know, there are resources out there that can help you. There are a lot of programs for those patients that don't have insurance, but for patients that are underinsured, there's maybe about four or five of us in the country that can help. And we all help with different diseases depending on how we're funded.
And the diseases that are covered, you have a list. People can go to the website and find that out, and we'll certainly tell them that gooddaysfromcdf.org, again,
yeah.
gooddaysfromcdf.org, and you list so many. I mean, from melanoma to cancer to asthma, there's a little asterisk about that because, of course, certain conditions have to be met. Even osteoporosis, things that people might not think, all kinds of diseases you have listed. How many altogether? It looks like, to me, it looks like 65, 70, something like that.
We do. We have probably about 50 different disease states that we have funding for. They open and close at from day to day, depending on what funding is available. So if you were to have a chronic disease and your doctor were to say, this is your situation, and they were refer you to Chronic Disease Fund, or even if you went to the pharmacy and you found that you couldn't afford it, a lot of times the pharmacy will tell you, try Chronic Disease Fund, or they'll call for you. But if you don't, go to cdfund.org, go to gooddaysfromcdf.org, and you can look at our list of different disease states that are open and closed, and the asterisks will define which ones are currently closed. But again, they could open the very next day. You just don't know. But whoever we help, when you call in, you can be qualified within 10 minutes. We can tell you whether or not we can help you or not. We can get you on that dose most of the time in the same day. And then, you will be funded for the remaining calendar year. But then you would have to reapply beginning in January again.
Wow, that's terrific. So, and especially to not waste any time, so you realize that you're jumping on it immediately, because that's the other thing that happens. It's just the reality of our world. A lot of times when somebody needs something, then it's put off, and they're waiting around and then trying to figure out if they can do it, and then they're buried and overwhelmed and paperwork and all that kind of stuff. So that's terrific that the Chronic Disease Fund is able to jump on that right away. How do you raise money? Through awareness? I mean, people donate. I know that. But do you do other things during the year?
We do try to do a lot of social media advertising and things like that. A lot of times it's family members and friends that know that their loved one is being helped and they would like to give back. Funding is critical to our organization. Without the funds, we just cannot help people. And, you know, most of the time, the average person that's calling us has maybe tried three or four other organizations before they're able to get help from us. And so it's so important to have the funding. We can't tell you, you know, when the patient care specialists that we have that answer the phones when the patient's called, what an amazing job that they do. I know I couldn't do it, because to have to be able to tell somebody that you have funding is a great thing to be able to do that day during your job. But to be able to tell somebody, to have to tell somebody, you know, I'm sorry, there's no funding available for you, is very, very difficult. And that's why most of our funding comes from the generous donors that come to our website, and that they give from the graciousness of their heart. And it means everything, because we're different from a lot of organizations in the way that, you know, nonprofit organizations are searching for a cure. They're putting their money towards research. And 91 cents of every dollar donated to our organization goes directly to help the patient with those medications to get them help. So, you know, we're all for looking for a cure, but what we focus on is helping people who need help now.
Yeah. Peggy, for you, what's the most rewarding part of this job?
Be able to listen to people who call us, who give testimony, who send us letters, and tell us the difference that we make in their lives. That's the most rewarding part of the job. You know, I've worked in corporate America for many, many years, and there's nothing that would drag me away from this, because I understand, you know, the need is only growing out there. It's way too important. And so if it makes a difference in one person's life, then that's enough for me. But last year we helped over 116,000 people get the medications that they needed, and that's so rewarding.
Wow, 116,000 people. And this is from all over the country?
All over the country, nationwide. Last year we were number 42 on Forbes top 200 largest organizations in the country, nonprofit organizations. So we always say we're the largest nonprofit you've never heard of. And you know, if you've never heard of us, that's a blessing for you. Because if you have heard of us, it's because you've needed us.
Yeah. Yeah, what a terrific thing. So check it out, everybody. Go to Good Days from CDF.org. Peggy, thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Kate.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy bodies. byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is renovation teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with nature's natural antiparasitic, antiviral, antifungal, antibiotic, Allicin, the heart of garlic. Get concentrated protection with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from Affinity Health Products. One capsule of Alli-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills with no garlic breath. Alli-Ban has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with three times more strength than leading brands and costs less. Go to Alli-C.com, spelled Alli-C.com, or call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. That's 855-255-4246. Protect yourself with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from Affinity Health Products at Alli-C.com.
Tonight we've been talking about the fallout of a couple of things that have happened since last week with Supreme Court decisions and whatnot, and what it all means as we break it down. Joining us now from Project 21, it's been on in the past, you guys really, really reacted to him, Derek Green, and he's got plenty to say about the NAACP's president, Ben Jealous's recent announcement regarding voting rights, and saying that they are discriminating to transgendered Americans. And we're going to go much deeper on this one. Derek, thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me back.
So let's talk about Ben Jealous and his role and, of course, now what's happened with the NAACP in your eyes. But first, his comments. And, of course, this has to do with voting rights and the Supreme Court decision from last week.
That's right. He was at the Netroots Nation convention. I think it was last month. And Netroots Nation is a convention of far left progressive activists, political bloggers, and things of that nature, who come together and try to affect the public debate on a number of different issues that primarily benefits their political agenda and their ideology. And so, during a panel when they were discussing voting rights, Ben Jealous referenced his adopted brother, who happens to be a transgender fellow, and said that by implementing voter ID rights, it would be discriminatory to folks like his brother. And because it would be discriminatory towards those particular Americans, we should just discard all voter ID laws, all laws that require people who want to vote to show a valid identification to prove who they say they were. And, you know, Ben Jealous, it's nothing new for him to discuss his particular beliefs and the NAACP's beliefs being against voter ID. They've called it racist in the past, and a number of kind of derogatory terms toward voter ID and those who support voter ID. But for him to come out and use the transgendered as a reason why America shouldn't adopt some sort of voter ID program to cut voter fraud is just ridiculous. And it, again, to me, based off what he has personally said and what the NAACP has stood for over the last several years, it seems that they've taken one more step closer to being a purely partisan political organization that has absolutely nothing to do with civil rights or, for that matter, Black Americans.
Yeah, something that Project 21 talked about and other groups have talked about, too, is even going down a different road with that, is that the ACLU specifically and now the NAACP suing the state of Arizona. They're doing this, of course, in federal court to have what's called the Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass Prenatal Non-Discrimination Act thrown out. Now, what it is basically a law that doesn't allow and criminalizes all race and sex-based abortions. So what does this ultimately do, and how destructive is this actually to Black folks?
You know, it's really destructive to Black folks. You know, as you said, that particular law in the state of Arizona was implemented specifically to try to reduce the numbers of abortions in the Black community because, as many people know, abortions happen disproportionately. They have disproportionately high numbers in the Black community as in relation to their population numbers. And so I think it's close to 40% of all abortions happen in the Black community, where Blacks only represent 13% of the population. And so the NAACP with the ACLU and some women's group are trying to sue the state of Arizona to have that law thrown out because, okay, well, I can't say because I don't really know why they would want to throw that law out. But by taking the stand that they're taking, it seems to me that the numbers of Black children who have been aborted since 1973, which is reaching numbers close to 1,500 per day, doesn't morally bother the leadership of the NAACP. For them to try to sue and remove a law that would actually also reduce, you know, the numbers of abortions as they pertain to preborn baby daughters. For them to take that stand seems to me that what they're after is an unfettered access to abortion regardless of the consequences. And so, again, with taking a stand that would effectively increase the numbers of abortions in Black America, for them to take a stand to say we are against the voter ID because of it might disenfranchise or discriminate against transgendered people, which only number, based off a study that I think that was out of UCLA, 700,000 Americans. You know, these two things alone, and this is within as many months, again, shows that the NAACP is just, they're purely partisan. And their mission, the historical mission of looking out for the rights of, you know, the disenfranchised or minorities, civil rights and things of that nature, it's pretty much gone to the wayside.
Yeah. What was your reaction to the Supreme Court's decision on voter ID? Well, not voter ID, but voter rights.
You know, to me, the whole thing seemed somewhat silly that people would be arguing that we still needed to have that section maintained in the Voting Rights Act simply because, you know, over the last several years, we've elected a Black president not once but twice. You know, we've had amazing advances in terms of, you know, Black exposure to, you know, elected offices, not only at the federal level, but also at the state level. We've had a mass assimilation of Black Americans into the country since 1965. So to say that somehow, you know, we need to maintain that law in its present form in a way saying that America hasn't changed, I think is disingenuous. I think it's disingenuous to the many Americans who actually had to overcome their own inherent stereotypes and biases to accept people that were different from them. And I think that's also done a lot. It says definitely wrong things about our country and the leaps and bounds that we've made in such a short period of time. I think, you know, in the last 50 years, I think America has come socially farther than many countries have come in their entire histories. And so I was happy that it was struck down because, again, what it does in the arguments made by the members of the NAACP and people who were against the voter ID laws as basically saying that blacks weren't resourceful enough to not only get an ID, but to present an ID because they wanted their votes to count. And I thought that was a very condescending line for them to take. So when they shut down the section, I was happy.
Yeah, we're speaking with Derek Green, of course, from Project 21. Derek, you know there's people listening to us now across America and all those nooks and crannies that are just shaking their heads and are saying, wow, what is he talking about? What are they thinking in saying that voter ID laws don't discriminate, that it's that really that's what happens, that it keeps people from the polls, that there are so many people that are older that can't get IDs, that can't get out there. Do you think that's just more trumped up on the other side to try to, I don't know, in some cases stuff the ballot box in reverse?
Of course. Of course. You know, I think that these same people who are claimed that are, you know, put at a disadvantage and have, you know, obstacles preventing them from getting IDs are the same people who need to show IDs simply to drive a car, you know, to open a checking account, to buy alcohol and cigarettes, you know, to rent an apartment or buy a house. And so it doesn't seem, so let's put it this way, if it's discriminatory and it's a disadvantage for them to show an ID one day out of the year, maybe 2 days out of the entire year, then it's much more discriminatory for them to show, you know, their ID, you know, in everyday life. And so I think those type of arguments are transparent at best. But again, when they say, they don't say that everybody's disadvantaged. What they say is they say, you know, the elderly and minorities, but minorities is a euphemism for black. So again, right. It's very condescending. And so, and what I really, really, really would love black Americans to realize is that these people whose party that you know support and have supported for the past 50 years don't think enough of you that you can be resourceful enough to show your ID when you go vote. They think of you as little children, not as fully functioning adults. And that's the one thing, that's one of the many things, but if they could just really, really, you know, take a step back, reduce the emotional attachment to the voter ID and the arguments made against having voter ID, to simply say, these people think that we're children. They don't think that we are resourceful in and of ourselves in our own communities to not only get our own ID, but to help those who may actually be disenfranchised or may be disadvantaged to go get their ID. What does that say about this party that we've given our allegiance to for the last 45 to 50 years? And to answer the question, it doesn't say much.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, too, in looking at the NAACP, it has to be disconcerting to see, especially from what you've said through your eyes and through others with Project 21, with the things that have happened in the past that were so valuable and lanes that were opened up, is this discouraging to you to see what direction now at the NAACP is taking?
Yes, because what it does is that it kind of throws a blanket on the accomplishments that the organization was actually able to participate in, you know, through the course of its existence. What, you know, gives me a little bit more tightening of my chest is the amount of influence that news outlets continue to give these people of the NAACP to advance their political ideology. You know, in black churches that I go to, and black Christians I talk to, every now and again, they will still reference the NAACP, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I don't understand how you could reference a so-called civil rights organization that truly, based off what they've said and done, don't care about your civil rights, you know, and what is it about them that still, you know, forces you or to give them that type of reverence? And what it comes down to is that they're still revered for what they've done pre-1964, 1965. If they take into consideration what they've done since then, it's a different story. And so, you know, the NAACP will be the NAACP. I just hope and pray that, you know, people who used to give them the type of respect that they earned slowly start coming away from them and saying, you know what, you don't have our best interests at heart, so we're not going to support you anymore.
Yeah. Well said. Derek Green, thanks for stopping by. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called MicroPlant Powder Gold. MicroPlant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make MicroPlant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
Going down a dirty inner city side road, I plotted. Madness passed me by, she smiled high. I nodded, looked up at the sky, began to cry. She shot it. Met a girl from Dearborn early 6 o'clock this morning, Colfax. Asked about a bag, suburbia's such a drag, won't go back. 'Cause Papa don't allow no news.
I used to say get out a box of Band-Aids. Now I think you need an entire emergency kit when it comes to a budget and figuring this thing out. The president wants to push for yet another delay because he missed, first of all, the legal deadline to submit the budget. We already know about that. And now he's pushing to pass a small package, as it's being described, of spending cuts and tax changes to delay any kind of sequestering from taking place next month, which would mean a shutdown of the government, as you all know. In the wings, Nicole Kading joins us from Americans for Prosperity. She's the state policy manager. Nicole, what's interesting is, and certainly people are noticing this and handicapping what the president's saying, is most of this idea of putting another Band-Aid on it, most of it is over taxes. Get some more taxes, 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 first of all, and not very many spending cuts. Did that pop out at you?
Oh, absolutely. I think that all this president knows how to do is go to Congress and ask for more tax revenue. Just in January, he got, in essence, three tax hikes. One, all the marginal income tax increases in the fiscal cliff deal. We had the expiration of the payroll tax cut. And underreported, several different tax increases from his health care law went into effect in January. So he got three tax increases a month ago. And now it's time to actually cut spending to honor the spending cuts that he and Congress promised us from 2011. And, of course, it's inconvenient for him to do that. So what does he do? He goes and asks for more tax increases.
Yeah. Well, and the blowback, of course, has been huge because the Republicans are definitely building a wall and saying, no, you know, we're not going to agree to this. But as you've seen in the past, too, suddenly you get weak knees because there's something, I don't know what it is. It's something in the air in Washington, and there seems to always be a last-minute deal, which was my reference to the constant Band-Aids. Are we going to see this happen again?
I sure hope not. You know, Congress and the president, like I said, in 2011, they promised the American people in exchange for raising the debt ceiling, they promised us $1.2 trillion in spending cuts starting this January. They delayed them to March, but they've promised us those spending cuts. We're supposed to get $85 billion in spending cuts this year alone. The Republicans in the House seem pretty set on letting those go into effect, which I think is absolutely the right policy. But the Democrats, I think, are getting scared. We had the president yesterday talk about raising taxes. We had Senator Harry Reid on the Sunday morning shows this week, again, talking about delaying them and going for tax hikes instead. But I think the Republicans seem to have the backbone, and let's just hope they come through and they get the message that we're all sending them. We send them to Washington to cut spending, and now it's time to do it.
All right, so here's the thing. If we keep going down the same path, like you say, we'll see if they hold up through this. What does it mean for all the businesses out there? You know, Americans for Prosperity. That's what it's about. We talk about what are small businesses doing, creating jobs. How many small businesses are there or businesses in the United States? That's the backbone of our economy, if you look at it. And now we hear from businessmen and business women, frankly, people across the board, that they're not hiring, they're doing certain things because they don't really know what the tax situation is going to be. So it's confusing, right?
Absolutely. One of the things that's most important in a tax code, one of the things we want stability. We want to know what the tax rates will be tomorrow, next month, and next year. That's how businesses make investment decisions. They need to look 5 years in the future and determine whether this project is going to be fruitful. And if the taxes are changing every 6 months or every year, they can't make those decisions. It makes it harder to invest in their firm, to buy more capital, to build more factories, to hire more employees. We talk about the fact that the economy is so weak. Well, it's partly weak because we keep raising taxes every time we turn around. You know, I hear the president talking about how we have a revenue problem. We don't have enough to fund the government. In 2013, we will collect as a government. The government will collect the same amount of revenue that it collected in 2007. Yet it will spend over $1 trillion more than it did just 5 years ago. Washington math, would that be a revenue problem?
Yeah, I was going to say that. And it's interesting because you even put it on your website. You talk about this, and we, you know, my nickname is the Poll Princess, meaning because I'm telling you, look, the polls are all over the map. But if you look at any poll, Gallup being one of them, and you point to it, that there is clearly Americans, no matter what they're wearing on their chest, D-R-I, they think that the government has an out-of-control spending problem. There's no question about it, and the polls show it. It's anywhere from 70% to 75% to even more than that. So what's the matter? Aren't they listening at the White House?
Yeah, I don't know what's going. You know, I actually live in Washington, D.C., and sometimes I think the people around me are just kind of, they don't get it. They're clueless. Yeah. I mean, all of us across this country the last several years have made tough choices. We've had to decide how you deal with this bad economy. How do you decide between putting food on the table and paying for your daughter's ballet lessons and getting your son to football practice and balancing all of this with the rising cost of food and gasoline? It's been tough. People have made tough, tough choices.
Yeah,
here in Washington, the people are immune from that. They don't feel that same pressure. pressure and they don't see it, which is why it's so important for people to reach out and tell their elected officials, we cut spending in our family budget, and now it's time for you to cut spending.
Yeah. When you say that, and Americans for Prosperity, and because you've beaten your head against the wall many, many times, what you just said there, you just encourage, as we do here on America Tonight, hey, if you have a problem and you're watching this and this is your tax dollars, then you need to speak up. And what I was told from a couple of different senators and even a few people in the House, if you call 20, if you get 25 people that are calling a senator or a congressman or writing, then they pay attention to what you're saying, don't they?
They do. I actually worked for a little while on the Hill in a congressional office. Even if I had 5 people call me the same day with the same message, that got escalated up. That's something I remembered. And so it's so important for people to get involved. Call their congressman. Send emails. Join groups like Americans for Prosperity where we can help you amplify your voice. Get all of your friends together one night, you know, one afternoon and say, we're all going to call our congressman from 1 to 5 p.m. That does an amazing amount of good work. And that sends that message in those, you know, those people who want to do the right thing but might get a little wishy-washy, who might be losing their backbone, that helps strengthen them to do the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Nicole Kenny, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We'll talk to you down the road.
Great, thanks for having me.
All right, once again, Nicole, thanks a lot. I pointed to the polls. I want to make sure I give you the information on that. The polls that I was looking at, I mentioned Gallup and Public Notice, and they're showing that you, yes, you listening to me, and you can weigh in, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. The Gallup poll especially pointing to that, over 70%. And then Public Notice, it was the same thing. They're showing over 70%. That was the number I mentioned. And specifically the question, Americans, you, do you believe that the federal government does have a spending problem? And clearly it showed that you feel that the government is spending too much and then wanting your money, wanting taxes. So out of control, big government spending. I think some people who are not so anti-government, you know, I say this on America Tonight all the time, I'm not anti-government because that would be ignorant. The government is good for some things. The problem is it is colossal and out of control and becomes good for nothing because there's too much red tape. We can't cut through it. And then we're always feeding it. And now we fed the beast so much that it wants more and more and more, and our national deficit is insane. I mean, we have a serious problem. We have to start taking steps as Americans. We got to take those suggestions. Call your congresspeople. Call your senators. Do something, because if we don't really seriously forget about, you know, keep pushing this down the road, then in the end, we are all going to pay for it, whether you're going to end up in the baby boomer generation in a few years, or you're climbing into your 30s from your 20s. We're never going to be able to dig ourselves out of this. I see no way. And all these tax hikes and not coming up with a way to swing the axe and figure out where to cut, because I can tell you there is lots of duplication in the government, is a huge mistake. And we cannot continue to do this. The Band-Aids are starting to hurt when we pull them off. All right, hang with us. More to come here, of course, on America Tonight.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves the absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses 3 groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.